God bless you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archive programs are available on our website, WGTD.org, and you're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page.
Support comes from the App Factory at UW Parkside. Is your business or nonprofit in need of a mobile app? Student interns at the App Factory make state-of-the-art and user-friendly apps for phones and other mobile devices. Web applications, too. For more information, visit appfactory.uwp.edu.
This is WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that highlights various local issues and organizations. It's co-hosted by Lenny Aquinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant, and Laura Sumner Kuhn, a former journalist at the Racine Journal-Times, who currently serves as an adjunct instructor at UW Parkside. Community Matters shares its time slot with the WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's program.
Good morning. This is Lenny Aquinta for Community Matters, and my guest today is Kenosha County Executive Jim Kruiser. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Len. How are you on this fine Kenosha County day?
It's always great to be in Kenosha County, and summer in the parks is on my mind today and this morning, and I wonder if you could bring us up to date on what's going on in the county parks.
Well, after our record level of 10 inches of rain in May, the grass and all the greenery is popping, and it is exciting times. We have a number of, six county parks, as you know, from Kemper Center to Petrifying Springs Park, which has the beer garden and a number of pavilions for rent and walkways that I encourage people to go out there. Restroom facilities and a little storage area is being constructed with the revenues from the beer garden primarily. And the Ball Diamond's getting realigned. So money made on those partnerships are getting put back into the park, and they should be operational by the 4th of July. Going out to Bristol Woods out on MB and off of Highway C in Bristol, Boundless Adventures has gotten off to a terrific start, and that's an up-in-the-air challenge course with ropes and a few zip lines, and there's a yellow level, a green level, a blue level, and then a black level, and one of them is called Sheer Insanity. I've made it all the way. I haven't done the black yet, though. I think I need a little bit more arm strength and build up a little bit, but I'm going to try that yet this year. It's really a great for all age activity, all ages, over, you know, eight or so. The yellow course is really good for young children, and then the green gets a little harder, and then the blue is progressively harder. But it's one of those things you go online to sign up to go out there, and there's also the Pringle Nature Center and just good hiking trails out there. Paddock Lake, great things out there, another dog park out there like pets. Also at KD Park, a great passive park where you can walk around the gravel pit. If you haven't been out there, Straight Highway 50, go south on KD, you'll run right into it. A beautiful park that was 10 years ago, a locked-up gravel pit, and through a significant amount of work by the county board and our parks department, it's a fully developed park and very enjoyable. And Silver Lake, where we have the Ice Age Trail and swimming in the summer and beach activities and 10 miles of off-road biking done by another partnership with the mountain bike group that will also be working with us on the Petrifying Springs edition and partnership with Parkside.
Tell us a little bit more about that, Jim, the partnership with Parkside. That seems like an extremely beneficial step for both Parkside and for the greater community.
Right. Debbie Ford's doing a terrific job at UW Parkside, and we've been talking about how to take environmentally sensitive land, keep it that way so students and faculty in that area can make sure they're enhanced and protected, along with there's already pathways there, some not in appropriate areas, and we would like to take over the management of that in partnership with them to add value to basically the 139 acres that's on the north and west side of Outer Loop Road. So it's basically where the river basin is. It's not going to be a green park. It's going to be we're going to keep the integrity of the old trees. the age trees, and make sure that the river is cleaned out appropriately and in a timely fashion, along with the Kenosha Sport Fishing and Conservation Association and Root Pike Wing is getting some grants for some more stewardship grants for renovations there. So over time, it's going to take, you know, this may take 20 years to get all the way from the beginning of Pets Park through Parkside property. But, you know, worthwhile long journeys start with the first step. And the first segment is completed, and the undergrowth is growing at Petrifying Springs Park, where Pike River comes into the park at County Trunk A. So I look for a long partnership. It's a 50-year agreement, can be reviewed for 50. I think we have the management skills, the grant ability to draw down state and federal money, whereas Parkside doesn't have that focus. So this is a great partnership with them.
I'm impressed with your pushing of partnerships across the board in many ways. Why don't you talk a little bit more about how you've been leveraging partnerships and your strategy and philosophy of that, Jim?
Well, we have people who want to maybe add value or operate in our parks. We've said no to many more projects than yes because there weren't a proper fit. We want every park to be a little bit different. And when you get a high-quality business plan and someone submits it, I think it's worth the venture and take the risk of adding value to our community and make in a public setting without detracting from the ability to use that. For instance, in the beer garden, you don't have to drink beer. You can go there and bring your own non-alcoholic beverage in or your own sandwich in and sit there at the picnic tables and talk to your friends. It's still a public park. But if you're going to buy alcoholic beverages, it has to be through them in that confined area. And they're providing music and they're providing all kinds of, you know, entertainment and a setting that is really unmatched in Kenosha County to be where more people are living in condos and apartment complexes. You get that opportunity to be outside for 4 or 5 months a year and just in a nice setting. And the beautiful thing about it that I really note every time I'm there is 95% of the people are not looking at their phones. They're conversing. And that's kind of a throwback of what it was like before iPhones, if some people remember that.
Now, you've really been presiding over an expansion of the whole Kenosha County Park system, haven't you? Can you give us a little sense of how that's changed, the acreage has changed?
Well, we've added several hundred acres of land in which we're managing now. Been able to do that with mostly part-time long-term seasonals and short-term part-time people. But the vision is to allow an experience at your parks that, and we want the grass worn out in the parks. We want people to be able to go out there, enjoy themselves. And it's been a focus of mine to increase the activities and the opportunities for people with families or without families to go hiking, either on a flat surface, which has opened up a whole number of opportunities for people. I mean, we see people out there in rehab with walkers because it's flat surface in some of these areas, senior citizens. I had a man stop me in Pick and Save and say, I want to thank you. Did you build that dog park? I said, well, we partnered, and all three dog parks are not paid by tax dollars. That was a partnership with individuals. And I said, well, yes, I am. I'm always worried about it when they ask that. He says, well, I can't thank you enough because I've never had the opportunity to let my dog off leash because I could not ever retrieve him. And I see the happiness, and I get great happiness watching my dog play with other dogs, and it's just a number of my friends have the same experience, and I just want to thank you. It was really, really touching.
That's a great story, and I certainly enjoy the hiking trails that we have, and the more the better, especially the ones that I can navigate at my age and with my knees. Now, this all fits into a vision of bike trails as well as hiking paths, doesn't it? Do you want to bring us up to date on the bike trail situation? I know that when I bring people here from out of town, They're extremely impressed with the not only the network of parks that we've developed, County Executive Cruiser, but also with the continuing expansion of bike trails and the concept that you can go from the north side of Chicago all the way to Milwaukee soon on an interconnected path is just sort of mind-blowing to people. Tell us a little bit more about where that's going.
Well, when I first got elected, we put together a multi-jurisdictional team from every jurisdiction in the county. And we created a multi-use bike path plan, which allows you to leverage grant dollars, in which we were able to secure anywhere from 50 and up to 90% of repaving, like the North Shore lanes, with asphalt, with those stewardship dollars. There was money out there during the Great Recession that people were turning back. And being from Madison a number of years, you know, that's the time you go after those things. If I can get 90 cents on the dollar, I'm gonna grab it, and it fits within the vision and the tapestry of Kenosha. Kenosha downtown created the bike path from the city to Carthage. We created Academic Trail, bringing it from Carthage out to Parkside, and then when we redid 30th Avenue, we put a path there going all the way to Gateway. So it ties all three academic institutions together, and now we've leveraged on that to go from Petrifying Springs Park all the way to KR, and it's going to go all the way out to I-94 with the new KR road being built. But not only that, with the 240 miles of county trunk road we have, we widen the roads about 3 feet on each side where the right-of-way permits. It's good for maintenance because the water drains away from the roadbed. Two, it lasts longer, and you're able to not pave as often. And three, you have a haven of safety for those people walking or riding. And if you are riding on the road, please wear bright colors. It makes it easier for drivers to see you. And if you're driving, be aware of other people using the road. But it's been incredibly, incredibly successful. And the number of people, it's like that hidden group of people. If you build it, they will come. And you know what? It's not only the bike riders. It's the track teams. It's the cross-country teams. It's the football teams. It's all kinds of walks of life out there. And it's just truly enjoyable to see that. And we wouldn't keep building them if people didn't want it. And here's the other thing. If you want millennials to live here, you've got to hit the strike zone on what they want to do. The beer garden, boundless adventures, dog parks, bike trails, hiking off trail, off a paved trail, are all things that you need to do to bring young professionals into your community. We should be competing with the Third Ward of Milwaukee. Our price point for housing is lower. We have close amenities with Chicago, Milwaukee. We have the train down to Chicago. People are paying premium rents to live in some of those new apartments downtown, and we need to continue to capitalize on that because it's a great price point place to live for millennials. Three educational institutions. A lot of the ideas I have, my boys are 25 and 27, and one lives in San Francisco and one lives in Stevens Point. And both of them have extremely high recreational activities in those areas. I also look to Austin and Denver and Boulder. There's a number of areas you can just pick up on a lot of these things where it helps retain and it attracts business people because they have amenities that'll help them retain their employees.
And that's the key, isn't it? If you're not a community where people want to live, all of your other economic development activities suffer.
Yep.
And those bike paths are not just for bikes, are they? I mean,
no.
Even old geezers like me can walk on them and feel safe.
Absolutely. And my wife and I walk on them frequently.
So, Jim, you happened to mention KR in passing with respect to the bikes. So that gives me a chance to segue right into the KR construction project and what's going on with Foxconn. And we're recording this a week before broadcast, so if something happens that we don't mention in the past week, that's why. But right now, what's the outlook for KR? When I drive down H, I see this huge gap of mud as I look out over what was once KR. What's currently going on there, and what's the plan? There's been a lot of discussion. There were a lot of controversies about what was going to happen with KR in the past few months of the spring. Where are we headed with KR?
If you went by any construction place in May with the rain, you saw a lot of mud. It's not just limited to one road project. County Trunk K, the widening of it was created because of Foxconn, and the state had a need to expand the lanes from I-94 to County Trunk H. At that point, a number of people, including me, objected to them going from 5, 6, 7 lanes down to 4, down to 2, and bottleneck it at that point. Which someone's going to get hurt.
It seemed like a spectacularly bad idea.
Yes.
For safety standpoint.
And in all the analysis we had done, it was a non-starter. And so the state and Governor Walker said he'll bring it all the way to 31, old 31. So there's a nice transition in a main artery. It would be, you know, like 165 was when Wisp Park started. They're going to pay for, you know, $50 to $60 million road, 2 overpasses. It's a county trunk road that we could never afford to do that. It's being done. It was approved by Racine County and Kenosha County, and it's progressing on track. And it's the first track. It starts for I-94, and proceeds to H, and then the next phases will be from H to 31 and old 31. Estimated time frame to conclude will be about 2022. Different sections will be shut off at different times. So that's one item that was driven by Foxconn, and that we have some minor expenses on that, realigning some of our roads that for when you're going to have a road like that, you need your roads to be lined up and not disjointed. As 30th Avenue is disjointed at KR, that's going to be remedied in the future. You know, our road meeting 90th Street and Racine Side is going to be remedied. So those type of things had to be done. Now, let's talk about the big project that got pushed forward probably a decade sooner than it would have been. Without Foxconn, I-94 would not have been completed.
I'm pretty excited about that. By the way, we're here this morning talking with Kenosha County Executive Jim Cruiser and getting an update on what's going on. Tell us a little bit more about the 94 project, which is moving faster than I've ever seen a highway project move. I don't know about you, but I can't ever remember seeing a highway project move that quickly from conception to shovels in the ground.
Right. We had the opportunity or the option to go 2 years or 3 years, and I said 2 years, and Jonathan Delagrave agreed. Let's rip the Band-Aid off. Deal with, if you say 3, maybe it goes to 4. Who knows what the state funding is going to be, what happens. I want it completed. Once it's done, it's done. And we don't have that erratic lane changing from 2 to 3 to, I mean, lanes there not used. I mean, all the way between here and Milwaukee. This will complete it, and it could have been easily another 10 years the way the state transportation funding formula is. Until I-94 was done. So I'm glad that'll be done early next year, like February. Maybe they'll be painting and things in March, April, but we're less than a year out now from that being completed, which will be a relief to everybody because it's been a harrowing experience out on the road. It's been quite close. So
But traffic's moving pretty well. I've been up to Milwaukee a couple of times just in the recent few days for conferences, and I've been surprised that unless there's an accident, the traffic's been moving pretty well now. And the weird lane changes are pretty much gone. It's pretty much smoother now, and I feel a lot safer.
We're driving like on all new roads, and now they're pouring the bridge decks for the old road that they're tearing up. So it's an incredible project. It is moving really fast, and it is amazing to look at that.
Now the KR project, I would think from a strategic point of view, long term, really is going to make a big difference in terms of access from the lakefront to the interstate for the north side of Kenosha County and the south side of Racine County. And I wonder if you foresee further economic development along that whole corridor in terms of commercial and residential, because it's much more attractive to live somewhere where you can make it to the highway quickly.
Sure. Yeah, ingress and egress from the downtowns will be enhanced by this. I also believe that with the recent water agreement that Paris and Summers has with the city of Kenosha, you're going to see industrial, commercial, and housing increase dramatically in that corridor. Supply chain, well, Mount Pleasant bonded about $150 million for Foxconn, and the county of Racine bonded about $150 million. Per Foxconn, we did not, and we are in a position to spend our money on our infrastructure and law enforcement, which is about 72% to 75% of what we spend it on. And our budget in the upcoming budget will be about $22 million, which will be lower than we did last year. And we're on track. We're at AA+ bond rating. Our reserves are at a financially strong rate of 30%, which you need to get to AAA, which is always the goal. And once the income values rise, I assume with manufacturing and other things happening, there's going to be an uptick, we will be in a position to potentially get AAA, which means you borrow your money for a lower rate. And it's always... we have certain vulnerabilities other municipalities don't have. When there was an economic downturn, we had to buy up. We had to pay out, actually, for all the delinquent taxes. So when there were foreclosures and things of those, the city, the towns and villages were made whole, but we had to play banker. Now we get 1.5% a month, but on many houses you don't recover your interest rates. You don't recover your costs depending on condition of the property, where it's at. So we have to be in a position where we have money in the bank so we can play banker when that ebb and flow of good times and hard times hit.
You mentioned the bonding that was done up in Racine County. I take it that when you go to the beer garden, you're not crying in your beer about Foxconn not locating in Kenosha County.
John Antaranium was right on point, and I backed him up 100%. We were both up there at the legislature when they did not take up 9 amendments we needed to have to make it happen. They took up 2, and then that helped Racine also. But at that point, he threw the cards in, and I agree with him. If it's not a win-win for the community, you shouldn't be doing it.
What's the economic impact so far that Foxconn's been here? They're tearing up the farmland, they're building things. What's happening so far in terms of the economic impact? Do people want to understand, I think, are they paying salaries? Are we getting tax revenue? Are we getting sales tax revenue? How are we benefiting so far from Foxconn?
Okay, the specifics of Foxconn, I haven't spent a lot of time on it. I'm focused on Kenosha County items. Now, what I can tell you on Kenosha County is last month we had a record sales tax month again. And we're averaging about 3 or 4 months of the year that are new records. So it's significant that activity is going on. So construction materials are going on. So there's a spike there. Is it Foxconn? Well, partly is. Is it spinoffs of Foxhound? Yes, there's some here going under construction. Are there new speculation? I mean, we have very limited vacant space in Kenosha County. I mean, we're talking a couple percent available of all storage and manufacturing. So you're going to see more spec buildings go up over the next, I bet some hit the ground this year and get approved, without a doubt. I wouldn't be shocked to see five more developments happen between now and the end of the year where commitments are made with employees, construction workers are going to be working, building the rooftops, people are going to be hired under those rooftops. Anybody who wants a job now, who wants to work, can get a job in Kenosha, Wisconsin.
The transformer farm going up over across from Foxconn on Highway H is one of the biggest I've ever seen. I'm fascinated by transformer farms.
Is that on the Racine side?
Yeah, it's on the Racine side. Yeah, it's just huge. I couldn't believe it. I guess it really now shows you visibly how much electricity it takes to run the kind of operation they're proposing. Do you have any comments about the fact that bringing the electricity to the plant has to be paid for by We Energy's ratepayers?
Well, we were in a position back in 2008 where we were going to pay for increased, the county was going to bond for a part of bringing more power to Chrysler. Because the stability of the new machinery had to have a stronger current, and those lines needed to be replaced. And part of the package was going to be is if they continued to stay, we were going to have to help them with some of the utilities. Those discussions were going on. So whether it's ratepayers or local governments.
Clean electricity and sufficient electricity now is becoming more important with the modern equipment that we're using.
Absolutely. Any kind of glitch can cost tens of thousands of dollars in a very short time. So as we move forward, the exact calculation of what the ROI on that is, I'm sure the Public Service Commission has a paper on that. I haven't read up on that. I have read up on the solar farms going up in Paris, which is those landowners, if they want to do that with their land, I understand their position. I understand my position that they need to have bonding if they put them up and there needs to be a bond somewhere that if there's a hailstorm and all that glass gets broken and left in the fields, that someone doesn't walk. So we need to protect our community as well as let someone add value and make money, more money than they could raise crops. But it also has to look presentable. I mean, I've driven by fields where there's sawtooth posts by the fence that goes around it. Very concerned about the integrity of how the construction on that. I mean, if they don't go down 4 to 6 feet, we have winter here. Most of the solar farms up till now haven't been in areas with snow and deep freezes. So we need to be cognizant of those issues. The Paris officials are on top of it. We've been working with them. We submitted our concerns to the DNR in the permitting process, and we're going to continue to be diligent on that.
It's something that we don't normally think about when we talk about infrastructure for business and industry. We're so used to talking about water pipes being laid down, natural gas pipes being laid down, and roads that electricity is around us, it's ubiquitous, we don't think about it very much. But
right.
Someone's got to pay somehow and monitor those things. Will that bring in more income for the county if more electricity is generated here?
Well, usually when those type of power plants come up, there is a revenue component to the municipality it resides in and also to the county. And under our provisions, those dollars have to be spent on something park-related, environmentally related. So the perfect area that could go into is our park development fund and also into the south branch of the Pike River as we're redeveloping that and the Pike River itself. That could be a good portion of our match for future grants to get those studies are underway. At some point, you have to have the shovel in the ground. And this might be a revenue stream to help offset those costs. But you cannot use it just to...
It doesn't go into the general fund.
You can't just cut the levy because of it. There are criteria by the Public Service Commission that they have to be used for park-related type infrastructure services.
But this is heavily related to, interrelated with your economic development vision and quality of life vision to encourage people to want to work and live here. So it really fits, doesn't it?
It does fit with the upcoming programs that we have planned. Exactly.
That's great. I'd like to turn, County Executive Cruiser, to housing. We've been talking a lot over the last year about how much new housing is going to be needed in the Kenosha and Racine area to support Foxconn workers, and that number of employees keeps fluctuating. I'm a little dizzy now over what that number really is. But what's your outlook? What's going on in your head with respect to housing and the projected growth of population, whether it's Foxconn or any of these other industries and businesses of various kinds and logistics enterprises that are finding that this is the place they want to locate?
Well, the market will determine when and where housing will be built. I remember 11 years ago when a number of subdivisions that were platted were picked up by the county on tax deed and then sold off. That was a cost to the county and the taxpayers, and then we made money on some, we didn't on others. So when a developer comes in from out of town, when there's a housing crisis and they are trying to reach for my wallet, I try to sew my pocket closed. Because the developer will continue to say, well, we need higher density. We need higher density. We need high. You know what? What they want is to get a paycheck and go back out of town. Now, let's be clear. They're in the business to make money. And all this, you know, I want something that's going to stand the test of time. What is this subdivision going to look like 25 years from now? Is it going to be somewhere where increased police and fire calls are going to be there? Is it built with the proper materials that are going to stand the test of time and our elements that we live in? The county doesn't have a significant role in the housing, but I have been a critic of people saying, well, we just need to have higher density because we need housing now. I think as the business flows in, there'll be pressure. And you'll see a number of developments have gone up of high quality. I think SR Mills and Steve Mills have put up a lot already alone, and they've made it work. Others should take note of that, of how they're doing that. They have hit the mark on the quality of construction, on the amenities that they include with those facilities, like in all facilities, you need to have a place where people can have Amazon deliver, lock it up. I mean, that's in those new facilities now. They have lock boxes so that when these packages get delivered, if in a condo or apartment complex, you need to have storage areas for this. If you don't, you're going to have boxes everywhere and a problem, a quality of life issue. This is an expectation of millennials. Well, where's, you know, you punch in a code off your phone, you get an email, you punch it in, it opens the box, you take your package. This is the new way we need to be planful and thoughtful how we move forward with these developments and what is included and what isn't included.
What do you foresee in terms of land use issues that are on the horizon for Kenosha County, Jim?
Well, the land use issues are always interesting because it is the economic times that drives a lot of the land use issues. You're still going to have a significant part of Kenosha County agricultural. Now, in Paris Township, it's going to change if all the solar panels get put in, and that's going to be three times the size of Parkside when they get done, you know, like 2,000 acres of solar panels. That's taking a significant amount of land off, and how does that affect drainage? And I have very detailed opinions on the drainage issues with these new farms, because they're going to clearly, with the several hundred thousand posts they put in the ground, are going to break drain tiles. So new drain tiles have to be put in. They have to do photo imaging. They have to come back in 3 or 4 years and take a look at it again and make sure their neighbors aren't getting the effect of what they put in a different adverse way. So I think we're the housing is going to start hitting at some point. That's one area that pre-Great Recession, home construction has really dropped off. A lot of people aren't in that market anymore. You're going to have to find creative ways that people are going to revamp neighborhoods, like the mayor has been pushing, and also be selective on the type of housing. Now, you have to have housing for all types of people, all types of income levels, and that's a discussion that's going on, and there are no easy answers to that.
Is there a countywide effort where all the stakeholders are at the table or involved in addressing that? I think you've raised an important point. If at the minimum wage, affordable housing is different than at $17 or $20 an hour or more working at Foxconn or from some of our higher skilled jobs. It's interesting. I just read recently that in New York City they've put up and approved zoning to allow apartments of 500 square feet.
The county doesn't regulate housing.
Right.
We don't regulate that. We don't. Each municipality regulates their own housing codes and subdivision and condos and all of those things. So each municipality is a little bit different. They're similar in some ways. We may do the zoning for them, but the local control still sits with the local planning commission of those given municipalities.
I wonder if whether a holistic look is could be taken to...
Well, there's talks between all of them. They're all facing inside pressures and outside forces on this housing issue, and they're trying to, again, think it through and don't act with emotion of the moment. What's best for the long haul for our community?
We spent a lot of time talking about the roads surrounding the Foxconn development with County Executive Cruiser, but we haven't talked about other roads in the county and bridges. We've got plenty of roads and plenty of bridges in Kenosha County. What's the outlook and the long-term plan for those? And I know that some state support is involved with some of these.
Right. Well, we don't necessarily wait for state support on some of these. We do a rating on our county trunk roads. We do get some local aids, but the fact of the matter is we're ahead of the curve on our infrastructure. All the county trunk roads are the letter roads, like E, A, S, X, W. Those are the county trunk roads. We also take care of the state roads, which at times if we will we submit bills to the state and they need to pay us or they need to check off on us to work on them, so we will get compensated. Our main thrust has been at the state level in 2020, Highway 50 from 43rd Avenue to I-94 is going to go to six lanes. It's going to be a major change on that facelift that they're going to do, and it's going to be a couple-year project. But I think that's a main arterial to both Pleasant Prairie and the city of Kenosha.
It's desperately overcrowded now.
We're working on S being a main artery also, and we're going to go from Walmart out to I-94 and widen that to four lanes. If you've been on that road at any time, near 8 o'clock, near noon, or near 5 o'clock,
very impacted.
It's backed up, and if you don't address it, there's going to be an increased number of collisions and potential fatalities. So every study we have says that has to be increased. Land acquisition has taken place. The plat has been set, and we're working with landowners on that.
Bicycle path?
And construction and bicycle path and widths are going to be also included. County Trunk K, that goes basically just west of 31. We built it out with a bike path to the school, and now we're working with the city to get the funding for in between the railroad tracks where their industrial park is, and then we're going to continue out past H and up to probably 94th Court, where the ingress is there on the subdivision to the south. That way it's a haven of safety for people traversing back and forth to the schools.
We really need that change. Yes. And I see a lot of kids walking their bikes or riding their bikes, and I don't feel very safe driving next to them because the roads are so narrow, and I'm sure they don't feel very safe walking or riding.
It's fairly – you have the Army Corps of Engineers right now, and there's been a delay in this, and it's the water flow between the tracks has been an issue that will be overcome, but it's just taken more time than people think it should take. And we're going to do it right because you're only going to get one shot at that.
Jim, you've been county executive for a while now. You're what year are you into now?
Oh, this would be 11th year, 2008 to now, yeah.
Well, looking back, what are you proudest of?
Proudest of?
Last decade.
In the last decade. As county executive, I mean, the most proud of when I was in the legislature is probably the siting bill of the Union Grove Cemetery and nursing home. But the I think there's a number of areas. You can't just say what was the best part of X, Y, and Z. I think the fiscal health has been turned around for Kenosha County. Our bond rating is up. We've improved our infrastructure. We've had focused on quality of place and quality of life amenities. We are ranked top in the state, number one in the state, when children have been either neglected or abused as the response time. We've put a focus on that. Our district attorney puts a focus on that, and our previous district attorney puts a focus on that with the victim witness people.
Number one in the state. I didn't know that. That's wonderful.
Way above the state average and number one in the state. And when you see them, how you react to them, and when you – the hardest part of county government is taking a child out of the home. Most rewarding part is when that home gets repaired and that child can return to one or both of the parents. So when you take a look at that, the professionals we've hired – And moving our IT and making this a place where people who are technologically savvy and just brilliant in their own focused way are able to be department heads and use the tools that are available to them technologically to make them more efficient and then want to bring in other people under them in that way has really moved Kenosha County forward as a unit. So, county government does what you and your neighbors can't do for yourself. Plow on I-94. The sheriff comes through. I mean, he's the last guy you want to see, but the first guy you're going to call if there's a problem. So I think the holistic part of county government, I think we've upgraded it in almost every area, and a lot of it's from ideas from the public. So I always welcome anybody. You don't have to see me. You don't have to know me. If you have an idea, just send me an email to the county executive's office or give me a call. We'll always take good ideas. We love to implement them in county government.
What are you most earnest about focusing on next? What's on your radar that you want to see accomplished next? That maybe it's a big thing, maybe it's a small thing.
Well, I'd really like to see county government get to be AAA as a bond rating. I think that sets another standard that we haven't been at. And I want to see is to continue to provide those quality of life amenities so that millennials, we don't want to be a donor of population. We want to increase in population, and we want to compete with the Third Ward in Milwaukee for those type of bright young people who will be the future of our community.
One of my favorite questions, Jim, is to ask my guest, what keeps you up at night? What worries you? What on the horizon that is something that you want to make sure doesn't happen? Or what do you think is maybe a threat? We've talked about opportunities a lot this morning. Is there a threat out there on the horizon that we need to worry about?
So the things that the sheriff and I talk about frequently are We have a EOC now, an Emergency Operations Center, that we open whenever there's an issue in Kenosha County, a significant issue. We're putting up simulcasts so that all the fire departments and the fire chiefs, who have been extremely supportive, can communicate if an incident happens of significance. You saw what happened when one ammonia tank just over the border in Illinois ruptured of gas, and a rail car, a semi-truck, those type of things derailing with chemicals are things that we are con-